May the heart of God, incarnate in Jesus Christ, be made known to us. Amen. On this second day of Christmas, we may begin to feel a range of pressures returning us from the sacred time and space of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day to everyday life. Certainly, any of us engaged in after Christmas shopping will quickly have the sense of Christmas being cleared out, so to speak. But perhaps we might linger a bit at that boundary between the sacred and the profane, to use sociologist Emil Durkheim's distinction between that set apart and our daily life. We may need to rest a bit, perhaps from the frenzy of the past month, or to reflect on what has been especially meaningful this Advent and Christmas. Or for some, it's the strains of travel with holiday crowds and bad weather. For others, a range of personal stresses and struggle that the holidays can bring. And so I invite you to make yourself comfortable for a moment, to close your eyes, to take a slow, deep breath, and feel your awareness move from mind to body. Think about how God's incarnating love may have been present in the Christmas story this year, perhaps in a scripture passage, through music, the Christmas pageant, or another place where divine love may have touched your life. If you haven't felt it, let your mind move to where you might like to feel God's reconciling love or presence in your life. Whether in questioning, doubt, anger, pain, or sorrow, stay with it, as this is the place where you are likely to encounter God. Today's gospel invites us to a more reflective mode into the theology of the Christ event and what that means for us personally and as a community. Much of the great prologue that we heard this morning can be termed high theology. Or for some familiar with Zen Buddhism, each sentence is not unlike a Zen koan, a complex statement to be pondered and encountered, and hopefully, over time, to yield a deeper meaning and truth. But in short form for this morning, through Jesus we have come to know and experience the fullness of God, including the passionate, loving side of God who yearns to reconcile all humanity. A theme present throughout this gospel. The notion of incarnation, God's indwelling into humanity, is not an uncommon theme in the history of religions. Perhaps it speaks to a shared yearning in humanity to feel an intimate connection with that which transcends the bounds of our daily life. Incarnation also transcends the dualisms of self and other, body and spirit, this world and otherworldliness. In Christianity, incarnation has taken its fullest form and has profoundly shaped our spirituality. We can find many interpretations and commentaries on incarnation, including skeptics who are wary of assuming a sort of overfamiliarity that risks collapsing the difference between creator and created, and at worst, shaping the divine in our image. St. Augustine, aware of both pros and cons, believed that God's profound humility by willing to reside in humanity, especially in one who represented the more vulnerable and marginalized, showed us that mediation point where God and humanity can meet. What this means for us is manyfold. First, the incarnation shows that God wants to be engaged and involved with human lives, our lives, both personally and collectively. This desire for engagement is deeply felt within Judaism as well as Christianity. For us as Christians, incarnation means that God has experienced from the inside our human condition. Jesus' growing awakening to a salvation that is inclusive of all who truly and authentically seek to love and care for both God and one another also perhaps represents a divine awakening and affirmation of universal reconciliation. Through the experience of Jesus Christ, God now can be with us in a way that personally knows what pain, suffering, and grief are about, as well as joy, surprise, and friendships, what giving birth and being born are about, what childhood is about, the challenges of growing up, of struggling with one's vocation, and the many issues of adult life, including betrayal, loss, sacrifice, and death. This is the Christmas gift to all, embedded in the birth of that infant Jesus. Second, divine involvement means intimacy. The incarnation involves God becoming totally vulnerable. To do so, God had to let go of pulling out when the journey became less pleasant. It means knowing where the other is coming from by standing in the experience with them. This is one of the great challenges for all of us from privileged conditions who become involved in social movement activism, policy, diplomacy, or mission outreach. As supporters who have choices and options, we can always back away to the comfort of our communities, our homes, and borders, leaving those whom we supported to fend for themselves. God did not abandon Christ on the cross. Neither does God abandon us. Over the years, some of the cross-cultural groups I've researched or observed have been particularly challenging for participants who hold a significant leadership position to be able to make themselves open and vulnerable to listen and to really hear others who come from a profoundly different understanding or context. One such group some years ago included a feminist scholar from a top university and an indigenous woman from the highlands of Central America who had never gone to school. As the group sat in a circle in the sand, both women struggled to communicate in a language that neither knew very well. The scholar thought she was taking charge of the group because her education and leadership background granted her that expertise, and she was willing to share that. The indigenous woman, at one point, expressed profound sympathy for the scholar because she was neither had children nor was married, a view that both irritated and perplexed the scholar. But taking a deep breath rather than reacting with a terse remark, the scholar sought to find out why, from the other's cultural framework, she had felt that way. In halting dialogue, she stayed with the indigenous woman, learning that the scholar's own society was organized in a way that made no sense whatsoever to that indigenous culture, and that the scholar's success in her own social location had no place or being in that indigenous culture. The scholar later said that this interchange forever changed her understanding and her scholarship. To truly hear women from other cultures seeking to improve social and spiritual conditions, but with different views on what was needed or ought to be done. Christ reminds us that God's most precious gift to each of us is the gift of unconditional love, the gift of being heard, the gift of reconciliation across our diversity and our differences, and the gift of knowing that God is with us in whatever we experience, in our triumphs and our tragedies. Neither birth nor death are our final resting place. As Paul's words to the Galatians reminds us, Christ's redeeming mission was to bring us adoption as children of God. We need only to have faith. And as Paul wrote, because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. As we move toward the new year, may we share the gift of divine understanding and love that we have been given with others. And as part of the larger body of Christ, with all whom we encounter. Theologian Paul Tillich once said, "The truth that liberates is the power of love, for God is love." This is the heart of God incarnate in Jesus Christ that has been made known to us. Amen.